This is Everyday Faith with your host, Jeff Gaffney, here on News Talk 107.5 FM and 1260 AM WCHB.
Well, happy Sunday, everybody. This is Jeff Gaffney. Thanks for joining us for Everyday Faith Radio. I'll be your host for the next 30 minutes as we have a conversation about faith and we attempt to answer the question, how can we increase our faith every day? How can we live out our lives in a manner that is both pleasing to God and remains secure in His promises? Well, on this show, we like to interview people of faith who are willing to share their faith story, and we'll also talk about some of the great promises of God found in His Word. You can check out some of our previous interviews on WCHV.com. Click on the podcast section. You can scroll down to Everyday Faith. A couple of weeks ago, we had the pleasure of having Anthony Gill from the UVA men's basketball team on the program. We also had the UVA men's wrestling coach, Steve Garland, on the program. It was really inspiring. And then just a few weeks ago, we had Pastor Joel Jenkins with us on the show. So some really interesting interviews. I hope you have a chance to check out those podcasts. We also have an email address, everydayfaithradio@gmail.com. We appreciate every one of your comments and your encouragement, and we welcome your prayer requests. We have a prayer team set up to help you if you have some prayer needs. Well, today on the show, I'm very excited. We have Father Bruno with us, Father Bruno Shaw from over at St. Thomas Aquinas Church in Charlottesville. We're going to talk with Father Bruno about his faith journey, as well as the Pope's new call to evangelism. This is Everyday Faith Radio. Thanks for joining us this morning. We'll be back in just a moment.
Here's what's happening in Central Virginia, sponsored by Virginia Blood Services. The Grand Squares of Nelson are hosting a Fireman's Appreciation Community Square Dance, and you're invited on July 18th from 7:30 until 10 at the Rockfish Valley Volunteer Fire Department in Afton. Literacy Volunteers is seeking volunteers to tutor local adults in reading, writing, or speaking English. The next tutor training session is July 19th, starting at 9:30 in the morning at the Jefferson Center in the Carver Recreation Center. Farmers in the Park is held every Wednesday through September from 3 until 7 at Mead Park on Mead Avenue in Charlottesville. The Charlottesville Albemarle Convention and Visitors Bureau is asking for your suggestions on the best places to vacation locally this summer. Entry deadline, August 15th. If your charity or nonprofit organization has an event coming up, tell us about it. Email your information at least 4 weeks in advance to psa@sevillestations.com. For more information about these and other events, go to our concerts events calendar at WCHV.com.
How's your lunch?
Good, Dad, but not as good as the sandwiches you used to make.
Really?
Sure. Remember how you'd melt the cheese first and dry the pickles on a paper towel so they didn't make the bread soggy, and then you'd cut it into four pieces with no crust?
I did all that.
Geez, Dad, how would anyone forget something like that?
You never know which moments will be the ones they'll remember forever. So take time to be a dad today. Learn more at 1-877-4DAD-411 or visit fatherhood.gov.
Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
And then you're out of desperation. No, you're not the only one. Praying, Lord above, I need a miracle.
This is Everyday Faith with your host, Jeff Gaffney, here on News Talk 107.5 FM and 1260 AM WCHB.
Welcome back to Everyday Faith Radio. This is Jeff Gaffney, your host, and I'm super excited today to have Father Bruno Shaw as our guest. Father Bruno is a priest at St. Thomas Aquinas Church, serving Central Virginia. Father, let me start off by saying thank you for your tremendous service to this community, and thanks for being on the show.
Thanks for inviting me. Charlottesville is a wonderful place to serve the Lord. Lots of faith and family, and his invitation is always open.
Could you, we'd like to start on this show, if you would, could you take us through a little bit about your faith journey? We'd love to hear the faith journey on our interviews.
Absolutely. You know, I grew up in a believing household. We didn't ascribe to any particular denomination of Christianity. We were generally Protestant, you can say. My parents raised my brother and me reading the Bible, when we could at night. You know, things are tough with parents' employment and the struggles of school, but we did what we could. We went to church on most Sundays, as I could recall, and we also prayed before leaving the house and upon returning to the house. But even though my parents were pretty fervent in their faith, it never really took with me too well. I always believed in God, generally speaking, but that belief didn't translate into any kind of real active response. It's the kind of faith that we would say is at best notional. It's not practical. It's not lived. But I went to a state school in New York for college, and after 3 years there, I found myself really desperate for meaning. I felt that I had been given everything that I could want. I was able to do whatever I wanted, and none of it was enough. I was in a fraternity. I was pledge master. I had lots of friends, able to go beyond all the boundaries my parents might have tried to establish. And even so, they continued always to support, you know, always to love me. So I had many things, but there was something totally lagging in my heart. And I was kind of on the brink, you might say, of questioning whether or not this life is worth living. And I used to take these religious studies courses because, frankly, they were kind of easy. They were easy A's, and it helped kind of establish my GPA at a decent, tolerable level. But I was taking this one course called Western Church History, and the teacher was adjunct faculty. He was a Lutheran pastor, and for one of his paper topics, he wanted us to review the history and purpose of monasticism. Now, monasticism is a general word for a trend amongst men and women, regardless of time period or religious tradition, to seek God alone. Monasticism is rooted in a word that means soul or solitary. And so the monk or the nun leaves marriage, typical employment, the city, to seek God alone in prayer and in the desire for perfection, let us say, spiritual perfection. Now, this paper topic totally arrested me. I had believed in God, as I said, for most of my life, but in fact, it didn't mean much to me. I would throw a prayer upstairs when I felt I was in trouble, but that's about it. And in fact, you know, when I was 13, my pastor said, you know, you could be baptized, and I, in fact, demurred. I said, no thanks. So I passed up on baptism when I was 13, and I had a fairly good sense of what Christianity was about, or so I thought. And so during this third year of my undergraduate time at State University, this paper topic, as I say, just totally caught me in its vice grip, because this is the way I reasoned. I said, if God is God, then how can you not give everything to him and for him, right? If God is what it means to be God, and if you believe God exists, and I did believe God existed, then how could you not live everything for him? And that totally ripped me up from my typical way of seeing the world and said, you know, there is somebody to whom you must give answer, and this somebody is issuing a call of love. And that really was what prospered the sense of Christian commitment on my part. It was the invitation to seek God above all. Now, when I said that, the paper topic was to consider the purpose and meaning of monasticism. It was also to consider the distinctiveness of Christian monasticism, that is to say, Christian monks and nuns. Is there anything different between those who are Christian monks and those who are monks and nuns or monastics of Eastern religions and Eastern traditions? And this is what I discerned, is that for the West, for Christianity, to leave the world actually involves a radical appropriation and appreciation of the world. So to leave marriage behind, to leave employment behind, to leave personal property behind, is in fact in order to serve those who are, for the good of God's call, married, employed, owning personal property, etc. And it involves a real integration of the entire human community. So it's not because I believe in this metaphysic where ultimately there's no such thing. These things are only passing illusions or of minimal or relative worth. No, these things are absolutely worthwhile. And in order to serve people whose lives are in the world, in this sense, Christianity has men and women who are removed from it so as to show the ultimate term of why we build here on earth. It is essentially to see the ever-living God. So that essentially, it was monasticism that brought me to consider the history of Christianity. And thinking about the history of Christianity, I was led to consider the arguments for the Catholic Church as a kind of complete or fuller presentation of the gospel, considering the good of scripture, the good of history, the good of culture, the good of art, and so forth. And so the investigation I undertook led me to seek baptism, and I was baptized when I was 21. And went through the process and became a Catholic. And it was years thereafter that I was able, like 9 years after, that I finally settled upon the priesthood that I've embraced ever since.
Let me ask if I could, because this is sort of relevant to my life. When did God become something other than a history book or, you know, the Bible that's on the shelf that we read about? When did God, during this process for you, when did God go from, you know, something we read about or that was then, that was in that period of time, to the God who is alive and with us today? Did that happen kind of after your baptism and as you were heading towards the priesthood?
It's concurrent, I think, with the entire process, because I became aware of God's personal invitation to me when I became aware of my need for something other than myself, my need for the one that makes everything worthwhile. You know, people come to me and say, Father, you know, I feel bad. You know, I feel like I only pray when I need something from Him. And I generally say something along these lines. One, well, you're right. You know, the Lord invites us to pray to Him, ultimately to know Him and to love Him. However, He being God, knows that we are finite, selfish, rather self-absorbed people, and He uses that. And that's the way He leads us to Him, is through our sense of need. That's why the first call of the gospel is always to repent, because unless you realize you're a sinner, unless you realize that you can't heal yourself, unless you realize that you can't construct peace for yourself, you will not ask the Lord, who has Himself already given you the desire to ask Him. So it was in that context of need that I was describing. I needed an answer that made life worth living. And that sense of need has been present in varying degrees, but throughout my life since. And it's grounded in that need, which is coincident for the Christian believer with the act of thanksgiving. You know, I can always give thanks to God because I know that He is always providing for my need, and without Him, I'm truly nothing.
This is Everyday Faith Radio. We're talking with Father Bruno Shaw of St. Thomas Aquinas Church. We're going to take a break in just a second. And when we come back, Father, what I want to hit on is I want to stay with this for a second. In James chapter 1, it leads with, count it all joy when you're going through trials and tribulations. And I want to start off there, our next session with that, and kind of get your take on that. Why should we count it all joy when we're going through the trials? My sense is you and I are probably have the same thought process on that, but we're going to take a break. We're going to be right back with Father Bruno Shaw. Please don't go away. This is Everyday Faith Radio.
Here's what's happening in Central Virginia, sponsored by Virginia Blood Services. The Grand Squares of Nelson are hosting a Fireman's Appreciation Community Square Dance, and you're invited on July 18th from 7:30 until 10 at the Rockfish Valley Volunteer Fire Department in Afton. Literacy Volunteers is seeking volunteers to tutor local adults in reading, writing, or speaking English. The next tutor training session is July 19th, starting at 9:30 in the morning at the Jefferson Center in the Carver Recreation Center. Farmers in the Park is held every Wednesday through September from 3 until 7 at Mead Park on Mead Avenue in Charlottesville. The Charlottesville Albemarle Convention and Visitors Bureau is asking for your suggestions on the best places to vacation locally this summer. Entry deadline, August 15th. If your charity or nonprofit organization has an event coming up, tell us about it. Email your information at least 4 weeks in advance to psa@sevillestations.com. For more information about these and other events, go to our Concerts Events calendar at WCHV.com.
Are you ready?
This summer, star entertainers are coming to Virginia, and you can get free tickets.
Free tickets? There's a catch, right?
Yes. These are tickets you'd give blood for, literally.
I get it.
Virginia Blood Services is giving away free tickets to summer concerts. Just be a participating donor.
Gee, I was going to give blood anyway.
So, go to vablood.org and make an appointment. You could win free tickets to amazing summer concerts while supplies last. Go to vablood.org. Check out the latest concerts and participating donor centers. Make an appointment and the tickets could be yours. What a way to amp up your summer.
Every day, patients depend on your donations. So be the giving type and amp up your summer.
VAblood.org. Give blood. Win tickets for you and a friend. Feel good and
amp up your summer.
VAblood.org. Donate blood and help people in your community. Bring a friend. Win free tickets to summer concerts while supplies last. Make an appointment at VAblood.org.
And then you're out of desperation. No, you're not the only one. Praying, Lord above.
This is Everyday Faith with your host, Jeff Gaffney, here on News Talk 107.5 FM and 1260 AM WCHB.
And welcome back to Everyday Faith Radio. This is Jeff Gaffney, your host, and with us on the program today, we have Father Bruno Shaw from St. Thomas Aquinas Church here in Charlottesville. And Father, I'd like to start this session. I'm going to read from James chapter 1, just two verses, verse 2 and 3. Let me just start with that. And I'm reading from the Amplified Version. Consider it wholly joyful, my brethren, whenever you are enveloped or in or encountering trials of any sort or fall into various temptations. Verse 3, be assured and understand that the trial and proving of your faith bring out endurance and steadfastness and patience. I want to stop there, and I'm going to ask you a question, if you would, just sort of coach me through this. So my take on James, and I invite any of our listeners to go back and read the book of James, but my take on this is we don't get out of life without going through trials and hardships. In fact, Jesus says that it's made clear to us, and we know that we experience all types of hardships in this world. So life is hard. Tough things happen. Unexpected things happen. Job loss, health concerns, the loss of a loved one. And they put us into this place where if we don't have a renewed mind and the right perspective or the mind of Christ, we can go into a free fall. But if we renew our mind and get our heads on straight and have the mind of Christ, we can understand that those things that are absolutely hard and catastrophic that we're going through, they actually drive us closer to God and increase our dependence on God. And as a result of that, we experience His grace, more God, more grace, more mercy, more of His overflowing love. And so to me, what those two verses say, as hard as it is for any of our listeners of what you may be going through, that which drives you to God to experience and encounter the living God can actually be a great thing. So in reverse, we count it all joy when we're faced with these tough circumstances in life. Can you coach me on that, Father?
I think you've explored the powerful dynamics of the teaching there. you know, Paul elsewhere says that hope does not, that sees is not hope. And what James is here talking about, and it's echoed by the entire New Testament and teaching of Christianity, is that faith is the substance, the realization of what is hoped for. And one of the things that these trials allow us to do is, as you say, one, cast everything before the Lord, who is both sovereign and friend. He is both master and companion. And it also trains our soul to receive the blessings that God gives us unto heaven. That is to say, the reason why we're people of faith is not essentially so that, as severe as this may sound, the reason why I have faith is not so that my husband will be healed, or my son will come back home, or my job will be given to me. As much as we want those things, and as much as God wants us to be happy, ultimately, happiness is life with him forever in heaven. This is the assurance that is expected, and this is the treasure that is kept for in heaven, as 1 Peter says. And so the reason why affliction is able to produce endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope, and hope does not disappoint, as Paul will say in Romans, is precisely because of this training. And it opens our heart to receive, like you say, more grace, more love, more blessings. And it is a new mind, as you say. And that's why it requires the exhortation of the apostles and the preachers. Consider it a joy. Consider that you are getting what you need. Consider that you are possessing what you want when you are enduring trials. And James will say later on in that same chapter that temptation or trials, the same word can be translated in different ways, that trials aren't sent to you by God. Trials come from within, and that's James's kind of theology. And for James, a trial and temptation essentially proceeds from the heart that is not clinging steadfastly to the word. And so the temptation is to leave the security of the word that is preached and who is Christ. And that temptation is to say, because of these tragedies that I'm experiencing here in life, God has abandoned me. Or I'm going to seek these other less than virtuous means of shoring up what I need, seeking what I desire. And James is encouraging, stay committed to the word you have learned. And the endurance of trial will lead ultimately to the absolute possession, which is God himself.
Father Bruno, I love having you on this show, and I appreciate so much your time. In our last few minutes, I would like to talk about our new Pope, Pope Francis, and his call to evangelism. And I would just sort of like to get your take on that. I actually go back to a quote from Pope John Paul II, who one of his quotes that I've written down and carry with me is that faith is only worth having when you give it away. And it seems like our new Pope has, of course, taken that and sort of built on it with his call for, I think he calls it courageous Christians to go ahead and have some evangelism, which for some folks it becomes very uncomfortable, because I think you hear some people say, well, I don't like to wear my faith on my sleeve. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I think our new Pope is calling us to, you know, step out of your comfort zone and share your faith.
Without a doubt. I mean, you talk about sharing, and most of us conceive of possessions in terms of material things that can be lost and that can be divided. You know, think about the things that you buy in the supermarket. I there's a kind of potato chip that it's so good you don't want to share them. Well, that's the total opposite of what good things are about. You know, think about the really good things in your life. You know, when you're in love, you want other people to know that you're in love and who your boyfriend or girlfriend or your husband or wife is. You know, when you've come into some beautiful property, you want people to come and see the beautiful home that you've moved into and the nature in which it's surrounded. Same thing with art. You know, art begs to be shared. So similar thing can be said of God and, of course, his son Jesus Christ, is that when you come into possession of him, of course, because he has come into possession of you, you who have been given into his hand by the Heavenly Father, when Jesus Christ possesses you such that you possess him, you just want to share him. You want people to know how you keep on with a smile on your face, even when you're feeling pretty lousy inside, and even when you know that you're a sinner and you want to see the ever-living, almighty, just God. So one of those, I think, has to do with the nature of possession. And that's one of the reasons also that I think our Holy Father is so committed to the works of ameliorating the material conditions of others, because our material possessions are relative compared to our spiritual possession. And so we need, out of our spiritual good, who is Christ, to learn to help others in both the material and spiritual register. One other thing I might say, if I think I have a minute here, you know, he has a statement in Lumen Fidei, which is an encyclical that he co-authored with Benedict, the emerited pontiff. He says it's an encyclical written by four hands, so, you know, it's his as well. And he says that our society thinks that God is, like, out there. You know, think about when people ask you to pray for them. They'll say a word to the guy upstairs, as if God's, like, elsewhere. Now, he is. God is all transcendent. Right? Catholics get this, right, with their smoke and their incense and liturgy. God is transcendent, but God is transcendent, and that transcendence is revealed by the incarnation of his Son. It's the transcendence of the Old Testament for Christians is perfected in the incarnation of the Son. So it's because God is here among us, Emmanuel, I will never leave you. It's because he's here that we are people of faith, not because he's some kind of far-off, mystically abstruse kind of technique of self-consciousness. No, he's here. And we have to testify to his presence through acts of charity, through acts of love, through dialogue, through witnessing to the truth, etc. So, yeah, I mean, our Holy Father clearly has this kind of prophetic urge to speak the things of God at all times.
Well, Father, I want to, again, thank you for your service to the Charlottesville community. I know that you're actually heading off to Notre Dame, and we have another minute or two. If you could you just let us know what's in store for you and your as God opens a new door for you?
Yeah, praise God. Well, I'm hoping to get into classrooms with undergraduate students, and in order to do that, to teach theology, I need a doctorate in theology. So I'll be going to Notre Dame for a five-year program in systematic theology, studying the fundamental doctrines and teachings of Christianity, how they relate to each other, how they are able to address the concerns of contemporary thought. And the goal is to be able to be in the classroom with 20-somethings, speaking to them of the things of God, their reasonability, their desirability, and to be able to speak to them before they make some of the major commitments like marriage, who they will be with, the kind of job that they will choose, how they see themselves and their identity. So that's my goal, and I believe the Lord's leading me, and people have supported me in that. So I thank you for your support and your prayers. And God, I have to say one thing. God is so good, and God has always taken care of me. Even when I thought it was done, God has always taken care of me, and his Son lives forever to intercede, and the Father and the Son send the Holy Spirit so that I'm always to be at peace and joy.
Father Bruno, thanks again. Thanks so much. And if they end up letting 50-year-olds into your classroom, I'll be in the front row. But thank you so much. This is Everyday Faith Radio. Thank you, Father Bruno, for being on the show. Everybody have an awesome Sunday, and we'll see you next week.